We're in this series that we've been titling it Through the Valley. Obviously, even as it pertains to the prayer request that we just talked about, I mean, it seems like so many people are in a valley at the moment, which is why I feel like God kind of changed my direction of where I was going with the series. But life is a mixture of ups and downs and highs and lows, good times, bad times. And when you look at the terrain of mountains, what you understand is there are far fewer peaks than there are valleys. There are many more valleys than there are mountaintops. And the truth is, we spend most of our lives in the valley, not just the Central Valley, but in this emotional valley, which is a time of discouragement, so to speak. Because we're in these valleys, as it were, we need to have a greater connection for strength that each one of us need. Because valleys are difficult times. And if we don't have the strength that we need, it's in those valleys that a lot of people give up, a lot of people walk away. We talked about, I'm going to mention a few things we talked about last week just because I know that some people were not here. But what I want to remind you is we enjoy God on the mountain peaks, but we get to know God in the valleys. And that's why it's so important for us to really connect with God in this. It's easy to sense God when you're up on the mountaintop. Your perspective is good and positive and all that kind of stuff. But it's difficult sometimes, or it can be difficult, to sense God's presence in the valley. And here's the thing. The valley is a season of trials and difficulties, which we all go through. All of us. Difficulties are a part of everyday life. But I would say it's more so than just everyday life, even especially because you're a Christ follower. I think that you even go through more valleys because there's this inherent conflict that we have with the world and with the mindset of the world and the tension that brings and the conflict that brings to us, it's ourselves. 1 Peter says it this way. He says, my purpose, he's writing to a church, he says, my purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens. I mean, think about that. The grace of God is with you no matter what happens. The grace of God is that God gives us what we don't deserve. His favor, his strength, his joy, his peace. He gives us his presence. He gives us strength. All these things that we need in our lives. And we desperately need that in life for the trials and difficulties that we all go through. So when things aren't going our way and we want them to go differently, when we get bad news, when we're hurting, we feel alone. Maybe you're just going through a battle, or maybe you're afraid, or maybe your prayers aren't being answered as fast as you want them to. We have to remember it's only a season and this isn't permanent. Because when you're in the valley, that's one of the issues that we deal with, is it feels like this is a permanent situation. This is like nothing's changing the way that we want it to change. We read this last week, and I put this challenge out to everybody just because it's important when you're going through a valley that you have God's word hidden in your heart, that you have it memorized. I'm challenging everybody to memorize the 23rd Psalm. It's only like 7 verses. I know it might seem like it's undoable, but hey, you can remember a song. You can remember lyrics to a song. You can remember this as well. But here's verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm that remind us, even though we walk in the shadow of death, we fear no evil. For God is with us, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And I want you to hear this because God is with us, because of that, we have to make every effort to be with him. It's one thing we go, man, it feels so good to know that God is with us and all that. But listen, because God is with us, we have to make every effort to be with him. Just because God is with us doesn't mean that we are with God. We have to open ourselves up. We have to seek him out. We have to make time to be with him. It's not just like we go through our day and we expect him to be there when we're not seeking him out as well. And so there's like it's two-way street. And you know the scripture where we're supposed to come close to God and then he comes close to us as well. When we do that, what we experience is this. The valley is no longer a place to avoid. It's a place to embrace. I know it seems like because it's a time of difficulty, it seems like, how does that work? But when you're present with God, when you have that connection with God, the valley then is not a place to avoid, it's a place to embrace. Not only that, but it's also a place that develops, it's not a place that develops fear, it's a place that develops faith. So it's really important. Since valleys are a part of life and there's no escaping them, this is an important point that I think we've got to remember. It's what we do in the valley that determines the benefit of the valley. Valleys don't just benefit us because we go through them. It's what we do in the valley that determines the benefit of the valley. Because a valley can be either paralyzing or promising. It can have great potential and great blessings, but the blessings that we experience in the valley depends on what we do in the valley. So I want to mention a couple of things that we mentioned last week, just because I know that some of you were not here, and just to kind of recoup on what we talked about. But I also want to also continue things that we didn't discuss last week that are important to remember. So when you're going through the valley, first of all, we got to recognize what's really happening. When you're going through a valley, you have to recognize what is really happening, because most of the time we get in a valley and it's uncertain and it's dark and we don't know what's going on. We don't know why we're experiencing difficulties. It just makes no sense. We lose perspective. But what's really happening is the troubles in life are testing our faith, is what the scripture says. In James 1, it says, "When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Endurance, spiritual endurance, the ability to be present with God, to keep going, because we have the strength and the energy. Perseverance is not just something that we do out of willpower. It comes because we have the strength to persevere and to keep going, to keep walking with God. This testing that it's talking about purifies our faith. It's like gold or silver being tested or heated up. And what happens is it burns the impurities away. So when life heats up, then the impurities of our lives also get burned away. These issues like selfishness and pride and stubbornness, our faith gets stronger in that process. Our trusting God becomes more genuine. In fact, our faith becomes more our own rather than somebody else's that's handed down to us. But those all come through this testing that we have to go through in the valley. Also, when you're going through the valley, we got to cooperate with God's growth process. What happens in the valley is we tend to fight God's growth process. We tend to pray for God to deliver us from our problems when these problems are actually creating opportunities for us to grow. Here, listen to the scripture. I'll read that first part again. It says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So then it continues, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Perseverance is giving us the strength so that we're not looking for a way out. We're not looking for plan B. We're sticking with plan A. Plan A being walking with God and trusting Him. Perseverance is that process of learning to trust Him. And we have to remember that the troubles that we're facing today are actually preparing us for a greater future, for greater things in the future. Problems are opportunities to trust God. Another one is, you don't have to understand the valley to trust God's process. You don't have to understand the valley. Because valleys are dark, they're ominous, they don't make sense. There's a bunch of uncertainties when you're going through a valley that just doesn't make sense. But the issue is you don't have to understand the valley and why everything's happening the way that it is to trust God's process in our lives. And this process is a series of actions that lead us to a particular end. So the question is, do you trust God with the process of growth in your life? I love the scripture in Romans 5:3. It says this, that there is more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. See, God's committed to growing us and developing us, and He allows difficulties to move us in that direction. So maybe a better response when we're going through difficulties, rather than praying for deliverance or praying to be rescued from a situation, might be our next point, and that's this: when you're going through a valley, ask God for help. It's really simple. The question is, how do you pray in times of difficulties when you're going through the valley? Because again, most of us ask God to rescue us. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. But the truth is that I think we have to get, and that's this, that growth requires us to stay in the fire. Growth, in fact, if you're going to be purified, it requires that we stay in the heat. And we want, heat's not comfortable. It's difficult. We don't want to be there. But that's actually where growth comes. That's actually where God matures us. That's actually where the impurities are burned away in our lives and where stubbornness is dealt with and removed. We have to stay in the heat rather than asking to be rescued. So a better way is to say we ask for strength and grace to endure the difficulty rather than to be rescued. We ask for grace and strength. Valleys, they're not accidents. They have this purpose, and that's to grow us and to mature us. So rather than asking for deliverance from the difficulty, we ask God to help us in the difficulty. If we go back to James, in verse 4 and 5, it says, "So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, if you're going through a difficult time, you don't understand it, you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it." Because the truth is, God loves to help us, especially in the valleys of our life. And yet in the valleys, we tend to not ask for help, as it were. Difficulties are opportunities to talk with God. So when you're in the valley, talking to God in the valley is like this. Prayer is, it's about this prayer time, and prayer is not about getting our way, it's about surrendering our will. And that is essential when you're in the valley, because in the valley you're kind of struggling for control. You're kind of wanting to get out of it. You're wanting to get rid of the pain or the discomfort that you're going through. Psalms 139 is a refreshing perspective. David responds and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." It's surrendering control. It's surrendering our desire for what we want, what we think is best. Prayer also reminds us that we're not in control and keeps us close to the one who is. That's really important for us. Not being in control is a good thing when you're close to the one who is in control. In James, it reminds us, in your valley or any time, as I mentioned earlier, this scripture in James 4:8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Remembering that God is with us doesn't mean that we're with him again. We have to seek him out to be close to him. Remember, God loves you right where you're at. God sees you right where you're at. But God wants you to reach to him. God wants you, us, to seek him out as well. Prayer also isn't just asking God for stuff, it's trusting. It's not about asking for what we want. It's about trusting that God has us right where he wants us. And listen, when you're going through a time of difficulty, when you're going through a time of heartache, whatever your valley might be, this is a really difficult one that we have. And that's this, that we would trust God that he has us right where he wants us, that he has a purpose and he has us right where he wants us, that he knows best rather than we think we know best. God always does the right thing, even when it takes longer than we'd like, even when it's dark with uncertainties. Listen to David as he places trust in God. He says, "God, you're my refuge and defense. Guide me and lead me as you have promised. Keep me safe from the trap that has been set for me. Shelter me from danger." He says it this way, "I place myself in your care. You will save me, Lord. You are a faithful God." I hope that you know that, and maybe even if you don't know that, maybe this is an opportunity for you to begin to take steps. Because with the valley that you're in, if you're not in one right now, trust me, you will be in one soon. And it has a purpose for all of us. So if you're going through the valley, then one of the things that we've got to understand is we've got to exercise our faith in the valley. Valleys are opportunities to exercise our faith. Faith is like a muscle that when you exercise it, it grows, it develops. And as we use our faith, it increases. James 1:6 says, "When you pray, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind." Here's what that scripture is saying. Don't play the field and keep all of your options open. If you're going to pray, make God the sole beneficiary of your trust and your faith. If God doesn't come through, we don't go with plan B. There is no plan B. If God doesn't come through, that's it, because we put all of our eggs in God's basket. Growing our faith is learning to make God our only option. And sometimes that's scary. We want to have many different options. We want to say, okay, you know, I'll trust God, but if that doesn't work, then we'll do this over here. You might ask, how do we exercise our faith? How do we use our faith that God has given to us? Because the truth is, all of you, every one of us have a measure of faith, is what Scripture says. Romans 12:3, that God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. You have this ability to believe God for something. It might be small. Your faith might be little. But you know what? The Bible says that we only need a small amount of faith. In fact, Jesus actually says that's the size of a mustard seed is all you need. The ability to believe and trust God for something, even if it might be a small belief. But when you use it, that faith grows. So as we trust in God, what happens is we experience the strength we need from God. The strength that we need is a byproduct of trusting Him with our faith. Isaiah 40 tells us this, that God gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So here's what it's saying, and that's this. Those of us who are anticipating God's activity in our lives will have strength freshly reestablished that we need for the things that we face. But we have to be anticipating God's activity. That's what trust is. It's not just passively kind of hanging back and waiting and saying, well, you know what, God will show up whenever and I'm just going to... No, trusting is anticipating God's activity in our lives. Valleys can be exhausting times, and we need God's strength for sure. We need that strength to be renewed in our lives. So let me give you just three ways really quick that we can experience God's strength. And the first one obviously is pray. It's not on here, but first one is obviously pray. I already talked about that. But the other one here is this. We got to fill our mind with God's word. If you want to experience God's strength, then you've got to fill your mind with God's word. Because God's word is going to bring comfort. It's going to bring strength. It's going to soothe you. It's going to give you the energy that you need to keep going. I would encourage you to get into a Bible every single day, to get a modern translation, one that you understand. I recommend the New Living Translation because it tends to be easier for people to understand. But it's not just about having a translation that you understand. It's about getting into it and reading it and developing that internal ear that you kind of pick up on what God is saying. David prayed to God and said this, "My soul is tired or weary with sorrow." He says, "Strengthen me with your word." I like how the message says it. It says this way. He says, my sad life's dilapidated, a falling down barn. Build me up again by your word. See, if we want God's strength in our life, we've got to get into his word. Another way to experience God's strength is this, find support from God's people. All of us, again and again and again, I will say it without apologies, we are cared for best by those we are committed to. I want to encourage you to get into a connection group because it's in those small groups that you find the support from people that love you and are committed to you. Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. See, it's people we pray for, we pray with, we encourage each other, we support each other, we come alongside one another, because that's what we do as a church. It's what we do as a body. I tell people, if you don't have close Christian friends, mature believers who are committed to you, who you consistently meet with all the time, I feel sorry for you. Because we all need one another. That's the way God designed the church to be, where we are dependent upon God and each other. We need a support group, and God never meant for us to go through life alone. Another way to experience God's strength is this, that we hold on to God's promises. It's one thing to fill our mind with them, but we've got to also hold on to God's promises. There are 7,000 promises in the Bible that God has given to you personally. And they're like blank checks that we can just take and we can write. We can claim them. We can stand on them. We can believe in them. One of those promises says this, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And here's what God's saying. He says, look it, I'm your God. I'm the one that's going to give you strength. I will help you. I will hold you. And we have to say this way. I mean, if you're looking at how do we claim these promises in tough times, we put our hope in God and what he says. So when you're holding on to God's promises, it kind of looks like this. We remind God, first of all, of what he said. Though he doesn't need to be reminded, we remind God of what he said. God, you said in your word not to be afraid. And we remind him of what he said. We remind ourselves of what God has said. It's one thing to remind God, but we need to be reminded of what God said as well. Then we believe that what God said is greater than what you feel. And remember, in the valley, you're going through times of difficulty and you don't feel strong. You don't feel optimistic. You don't feel like everything's going to turn out. You don't feel hopeful. But when you put your hope in God's promises, then you trust those promises more than what you're feeling externally. We put our hope in these promises and in God that he will actually come through like he says he would. And we do this whenever we feel discouraged, and we do this continually throughout the day, even until we're not discouraged. I would encourage us to keep our hope in God, to keep our eyes focused on the hope of heaven, because times in the valley are times of darkness and discouragement, and we don't have not just a sense of optimism, but we don't have a sense of joy many times, and there's not a sense of hope. And it's in that times in the valley that we need to remind ourselves that this life is not the end. We have to focus on the promise of heaven. Paul did that when he said this, "So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever." And if I could just remind you that in heaven, there's not going to be any darkness. There's not going to be any problems. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any sorrow or sadness or grief or messed up lives. There's not going to be any discouragement. The things that you might be going through right now, just remember that they're temporary. This is a season. It's not permanent. The permanent condition is heaven. I like Psalms 84. It says, "What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on the pilgrimage to Jerusalem." In other words, that there is this great joy that we have when we've set our minds towards God. And one more time, I come back to this scripture in 1 Peter, because I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But it says this, "My purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens." Every single one of us go through valleys. You might find yourself in one right now. It would not be uncommon if you were in a valley at the moment. The thing that we have to be reminded of is God has you right where he wants you. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that God has you right where he wants you. And you're not there alone. He's with you. He has you. He is the one that's sustaining you, and he wants to sustain you. But we have to seek him out, and we have to search him out. And I would just like to encourage you, the valley is a great time to connect with God, to get to know God, to learn to trust God, to grow. And we do that by getting into his word, getting into a connection group, holding on to God's promises, learning to trust them. If I could just encourage you not to settle for no strength. You feel like, hey, you know, I'm going through this valley and I just don't have the strength, but that's just the way that it is. I have to tough it out. Listen, I just want to remind you that the Christian life is never meant to be done with willpower. The truth is that we cannot live the Christian life in our own abilities. We have to trust God. So in the darkest of times, in the most uncertain of times, God is with you. God has a purpose. He wants you. And he has this great purpose. You may not understand it. It may not make sense. But it's the best place you could be. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, it all begins with that. If you have a relationship with God, maybe that God wants to take that relationship to a next level, more intimacy, where he knows you, you spend more time with him. I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, no relationship, little relationship, great relationship with God, that you'd take that next step to draw closer to him. Father, we come to you today, and you know our lives, and you know our needs, and you know our issues, you see us right where we're at. You know what we're facing. You know the lack of strength and the discouragement that comes with the valley. And you know that we need your strength. We need your presence with us. Not that things will turn out the way that we want them, but that things will turn out the way that you have planned for them to turn out. Father, help us to not look for a way out, but give us strength and grace for the process. As you lead us through the valley, as you walk with us through, may we have your strength to walk with you through the valley. Father, I just pray for every person that's here today, all of us, Father, that you would give us not just the strength that we need, but Father, give us the faith that we need. And may that faith grow. May your process be completed in our lives, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.